Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Tarot International. The Tarot trainers are experts in helping you and your business to achieve, lead, and outclass in every situation. Learn more at tero.com.
Hey, welcome back to Insight on Business, the News Hour. Grateful you are listening from wherever on the planet you happen to be. We have a returning guest to the News Hour. His name is Kevin Foley. Now, Kevin happens to be the executive director of the Des Moines International Airport. And this, by the way, is coming to you from Washington, D.C., where there's a whole bunch of people, like 185 Central Iowans, knocking on the doors of Congress talking about some important things. And one of those important things is a new airport for Greater Des Moines and Iowa. Kevin, welcome back. Good to see you, my friend.
Good to see you. Thank you.
You know, full disclosure, I'm a fan of this guy. He has been able to make some significant changes to the airport during your tenure. I mean, even where you get to go eat out there has become amazing.
Yes, it has. The improvements to, we took over control of the airport. And that puts us at risk. When I say yes, it puts the airport authority at risk. During the pandemic, for 2 months, we lost money through that restaurant, as opposed to many airports. They didn't actually lose money, but they did not get any revenue out of those concessions. However, financially, it has proven to be a good decision that the board allowed staff to experiment a little bit. We shook up the contract, and the passengers are much happier, and we're making more money.
You know, there is a new wave of expectations for the traveling public. No longer really happy with sandwich in a bag, so to speak. I mean, they would like to have something of substantial. And when we travel all over the United States, that's what we see in some major airports. Yeah?
Yes. Yes. And we were fortunate that we had a relationship with the management company or a restaurateur that was in several airports. His story is
unique. It's a fascinating story. I interviewed him as well.
Yes, you did. But he does a fantastic job. But they have all Iowa product in the restaurant. It's Iowa beef. It's all Iowa craft beers. It's all, and even there though, craft beers have caught on, and they're kind of in vogue right now. But we still have people who want the normal domestic.
Give me that Miller Lite, right?
Exactly. And so they had to start stocking some bottles and cans of those typical domestic beers.
Well, it's a fabulous change, and we've been able to witness that change. And yes, I should just have I will link out to this conversation, that conversation that I had with that restaurateur who, with his family, escaped Southeast Asia. And it is a harrowing tale, but he has made himself so good. And his family as well. So I'll make sure we don't want to keep you folks in the dark. We'll link out to that as well. Well, one of the reasons you and I are sitting down, as we've sat down in the past, is talking about funding for all the things that need to be done with the Des Moines International Airport. Tell me a little bit about where the airport sits as far as statistics of flying, because you just recently have been going from city to city talking about where people are coming from to fly out of Des Moines, and it's remarkable.
It is. We did a market analysis back in 2018. That market analysis showed by zip code where our passengers come from, and a lot of our passengers, or I should say the majority of our local passengers, are coming from the suburbs of Des Moines and even on further out than throughout all of central Iowa, and in some cases across the entire state of Iowa. So taking that to the cities, demonstrating to the suburbs that, in fact, we are supporting your citizens in many cases. When you look at the population of a suburb, and the number of passengers that are flying through, every one of their citizens is flying two or three times a year through the airport. Converted that into, hey, can you help us out?
Yeah, well, can you put some skin in the game, right?
Yes. And I was overwhelmed by the support that we received from almost every city that we were in front of, and every county that we were in front of. Down to, and I don't like to minimize any amount of money that was contributed, but little town of Alleman, it's a 450 population, stepped up with $4,500.
Wow.
And to their budget, that's
a big
huge
thing.
Impact. Yes. Yeah. So very appreciative of the support that we've received from municipalities.
And that's critical, too, because one of the things that is always important when you're raising funds for any kind of a thing is to tell the story. And if you can tell the story to more city councils, more individuals, more newspapers, more radio stations, more out there that understand the economic impact of something like this, this is huge, isn't it, Kevin?
It is. What most people don't realize is when you look at a business, there's a list of 10 things that businesses look at of whether they should relocate to a new location or whether they should even stay in a location. In that list, typically within the top five and oftentimes in the top three, is do you have a good airport with good commercial air service. So that goes to talent attraction. Everybody is competing for talent. We know that some of the younger generations expect to be able to fly. They appreciate experience more than material things. They expect to be able to fly, and they expect to be able to fly relatively cheaply. And if you can't provide that to them, it's a struggle to attract them. So it's a talent issue. It's a business issue. It's just an all-around economic tool that helps an economy to grow.
And, you know, to that end, I remember 10, 15 years ago attempting to get a national organization to come to Des Moines for a conference. And the biggest barrier was that they couldn't get here from there. But that's changed dramatically.
It has. We have 32 nonstop destinations out of Des Moines now. Now, some of those are seasonal, and probably six or seven of them are on Allegiant Airlines, which they do a fantastic job on the leisure side. They don't fly every day to any location. But the rest of them are pretty much daily flights and fantastic connections, nonstop connections out of Des Moines today.
Let's talk about the funding issue now. And this is not your first rodeo coming to Washington, D.C. to plead with leaders in Congress to say, hey, come on, cut loose some of that coin so that we can do this job. You've been at this for a while, yeah?
I have. Our first study was published in 2014, and just by coincidence, I became executive director in 2014. And so that's how long I have been out there chasing funds, trying to get this project completed. The project has been underway, though, since 2015. We've had construction jobs that are part of the project going since 2015, and we still do today. But it's slow going, and we're getting down to the terminal itself.
Yeah, and that's the big chunk, isn't it?
That's the big chunk. And we would like to be able to build the terminal all at one time. It doesn't look like that's going to be reality, that we're going to have to do it in phases, using parts of the old terminal, connecting to it, and using it for a short period of time, or in some cases it may be an extended period of time, depending on how the funding flows. One of the funding issues that is going to be coming back around, and oftentimes out here in D.C., because I've been at it long enough, when they see my face, when staffers see my face or hear my voice, they already know what I'm gonna say, and it's about the passenger facility charge, which is a charge on tickets that never goes to Washington, D.C. The airlines are would be mandated to collect it. They collect it today. It's set at $4.50, but it's capped by Congress, and it's highly regulated. So the $4.50 was set in 2000. Parity on that today is somewhere north of $8.50. It would be probably, with the inflation that we've seen over the last couple of years, probably closer to $9 or $9.50. But what the industry, the airport industry, has been asking for is to have it raised, have the cap raised to $8.50. That would go a long way toward closing the funding gap for not just Des Moines, but many,
everybody.
Yes, every airport across the nation.
Okay, so the next question is, why are we reluctant to do that? Is this a taxation?
For years, the airlines have argued that any increase in ticket prices, because it's camouflaged through the tickets, but any increase decreases passenger traffic. What we're seeing going on right now today, though, due to due to fuel cost and to the pilot shortage, we're seeing ticket prices go up, and yet the demand for flight continues to go up as well.
Right.
We are very near 2019's record levels on our passenger traffic going through the Des Moines terminal today. And we know that we don't have all of the business traffic back yet. We estimate that we have about 50% of the business traffic back. So we're going to be back on a growth projection again, probably by the end of the year, and no additional or new terminal area to accommodate either of those passengers or the aircraft that will be coming in to accommodate them.
And that travel experience does matter. I mean, you just mentioned that people are expecting a certain experience when they fly. And the other interesting thing, I think, one of the things that makes Des Moines very positive as far as a destination is that there's so much to do in the greater Des Moines metro. And, you know, people can actually come here and maybe lay over a day or two and actually see some stuff. And so there's a real connection there with the experience. But if the experience tends to lag at the airport because the facility is not adequate, do you come back?
Right. Well, and oftentimes the answer to that is yes, but it is the first perception or the last perception many people do have of not only Des Moines, but the state of Iowa. And so it doesn't present the best perception. But you bring up a good point. One of the things that surprised me out of that market study that we did back in 2018 was that 57% of our passenger traffic through our terminal is what we would call local from Iowa. In other words, they're flying out from some place here in Iowa, and then they will return through the terminal to come home here to Iowa. That means 43% of our traffic, they're coming into Iowa to do business or for leisure purposes here in Iowa. And that surprised me. I didn't think that it was quite that high because I didn't, having grown up here, I didn't view Des Moines as a travel destination.
Right.
And yet it is.
But we have no beaches. We don't have any mountains. You know, we have cornfields. But at the same time, I there are a lot of people that have jettisoned Iowa over the years. And I don't care where you go in the United States, you can find an Iowa connection within 5 minutes.
Yes.
And people, I think, long for, I know on the coasts, they look at this and they go, gosh, wasn't it nice where we used to live? The weather maybe not so good, but, so I can see that.
Well, and we're here in D.C. with the Greater Des Moines Partnership and their annual D.C. trip. They, of course, post all of the accolades that the Des Moines Metro receives. And, you know, working off memory, I can't recite them all.
It's the best for everything,
right? Yes, millennials. it's the number four place in the nation for millennials to live and the best place to start a career.
The list goes on and on and on. And it's one of the only communities that, I mean, what did I hear today? An 18% growth?
Yes. two metro areas. If you look at the last census in the state of Iowa grew for a measurable percentage for the first time in a fairly long time in this last census. Off the top of my head, I believe it was 4.8%. But the vast majority of that growth was in the Des Moines metro and in the Cedar Rapids, Iowa City corridor.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the two areas that grew the most. Many rural counties shrunk, in fact. That growth, though, then relates into more passengers and additional passenger traffic coming through the Des Moines terminal. As you mentioned, it was 18%. So
yeah, and one of the things about the greater Des Moines area and the international airport, I just have to backtrack. You know, I get a lot of flack every once in a while when I talk about the Des Moines International Airport. How, what do you mean it's an international airport? What are you servicing, Canada? I said, yeah, as a matter of fact, we do. that's enough, isn't it?
Well, it's not just Canada. If you think about the corporate activity in Iowa, in other words, those companies that are, in fact, multinational companies.
And we have several.
But it's not just here in Iowa, or I'm sorry, not just here in the Des Moines Metro. No. It's all across Iowa. Those aircraft can come back from wherever they are internationally, come directly back to Iowa and check through customs here in Des Moines. And customs handles about 300 international flights a year, albeit all general aviation and corporate type activity, but they still handle a lot of flights.
Is that right? That's pretty amazing. And when you start to tick off those employers or those industries out there in the ag industry, as well as, you know, Kemen Industries comes to mind as a multinational. There are many, many multinationals that dot. In Johnston, of course, you know, all over, that are flying people all over the world, and they emanate from the great city of Des Moines and, of course, the Des Moines International Airport. Final question for you. What have you learned, Kevin, what have you learned over the past, 7 or 8 years with regard to how's your patience level, I guess, is the big question.
Well, I think it's probably had to improve. If it didn't, then I wouldn't still be at it here. What I've learned is that it's a slow process to process money, to collect money for a project of this size. It's supported. We've demonstrated the support, $28.6 million from communities put up for this project, which is very unique. That just doesn't happen. I have colleagues calling me saying, what did you do? How'd you do that? Because nobody else has done it. The state of Iowa has stepped up with a $58.7 million grant. Very appreciative of the grant from the governor. So there's a lot of support, but we're chasing inflation.
Yeah.
And from the 2018 programming study that was done, when you inflate to today, apply the inflation factor, it's gone up $80 million. Construction costs have gone up $80 million. And when you project then onto mid-year construction of the terminal, if we were to launch, it's another $90 million on top of that.
Every year this is delayed, it costs more money.
Yes. And we can't outsave inflation. While we generate revenue, and we have to, because we have no safety net, we don't have taxing authority. We collect no support from property taxes within the city of Des Moines. So the process of collecting monies or of dealing with a project this size it reminds me of the old saying, you eat an elephant one bite at a time. And that's kind of what we're doing is eating this elephant one bite at a time. And, you know, we've got about a third of the elephant eaten and we have two thirds left. And
that's a lot of money. Okay. It is called, once again, the passenger facility charge that is capped at $4.50. You'd like to see it go up. Airlines are going, but at the same time, they continue to raise their rates. So something ain't kosher with that whole thing. Kevin Foley, thank you so much for spending time with us. I always appreciate all that you do. You are a clear-headed thinker. You are pushing this boulder uphill. I get it. But at the same time, it is so well worth it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
Once again, that is the voice of Kevin Foley, the executive director of the Des Moines International Airport. And yes, we will have links to all of that up on the radio blog. Well, that's a wrap for today. Thanks so very much for joining us. For all of us that put this together each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator, sales and marketing. Aaron Libby, the voice of the Business News Hour, is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Kevin Foley, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.